Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Now here he is. Reigning AL MVP, but Bregman serves one into left field, base hit in front of Adele. Here comes Brantley. Throw is going to be way offline. Astros lead it 1-0. Alex Bregman drives in the first run of 2022.
Good morning, hello, and welcome aboard Vanessa and Gallant on this Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday, April 8th of 2022. I'm Paul Gallant. Vanessa's still up in Indianapolis with her family. We're hoping she'll be back next week, but again, no pressure as she and her family mourn the loss of her father, George. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass and the number to jump aboard after an Astros 3-1 season opening win last night in Anaheim against the Angels. Is 713-780-3776. You can also text in at that very same number, 713-780-ESPN, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Get your Friday vibes going. Look at this ridiculous shirt that I'm wearing right now. Bunch of Sharkies on it. Paulie Shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. No, I'm just kidding. I won't go any further than that because I know most parents hear that song and want to torture themselves. I want to hear it, do that whenever I hear it myself. And the Angels probably regret the torture that they have brought upon themselves. A lot of things to dive into from last night's game, but I'm so pumped to see the Alex Bregman that we saw yesterday. It's an 162-game season. You don't want to overreact after one. But damn it, Alex Bregman was fantastic in every aspect of the game last night. Makes a couple of beautiful plays, running up the third baseline, barehanded, blasting it over the first base. Actually had the highlight of that. AT&T Sports Southwest, their Twitter account was busy dealing with angry consumers for the most part last night. We'll dive into that later. But they did get this highlight up on their website of Alex Bregman gunning a dude down.
Little chopper, tough play. Bregman tries to bare hand, does so, throws on the money, get it done, AB. Alex Bregman tested for the first time this year, makes the play on Fletch for out number two.
You heard the RBI single. He also went yard off of Ryan Tepera later on in the game in the eighth inning, at a phase of the game where I'm not going to lie, the late Pacific Coast start time had me starting to fall asleep. I woke up because I heard a big crack. Oh, it's Alex Bregman going yard. Then it was Jordan Alvarez going yard. And even though there was a little bit of stress in the eighth inning on the Angels when they were up at the plate, the Astros were able to get it done for win number one. But Bregman played like an MVP candidate. He's 100% healthy. And if he's going to give you the power that hasn't quite been there over the last couple of seasons, probably due to injury, and the incredible ability to field that he showed as well last night, might definitely, at least based off of yesterday, the best fielder on the left side of the Astros infield, you're feeling pretty good. I mean, that was a fantastic play, the highlight of which you just heard. Meanwhile, on the pitching side of things, who knows if you get this every single outing from Framber Valdez? That's the big question mark. Can he be consistent over the course of a whole year? But when you just walk one guy and you retire 15 straight batters, striking out six along the way, with a lineup that features some pretty damn good players. I mean, you've got Shohei Ohtani. You've got Mike Trout. You got Anthony Rendon. That's a damn good lineup. And he was dealing from the second inning on, 15 straight retired batters. Matt Duffy, who the hell is that? Matt Duffy's the one who gets a hit early on, and the 15 batters in between, then Matt Duffy, I think, got another hit a little bit later. But, man, if you can get that Framber Valdez, can we... A question. Okay, going forward, you can either have that Framber Valdez 80% of the time the rest of the way, or we invent a time machine and send him back to the World Series. But this season, that means you get Framber Valdez like that 50% or less of the time. Would you rather have Framber Valdez like this the rest of the year and going into the future? Or to send Framber Valdez back into a time machine where he's not going to be good anymore, but you get the World Series. What do? I feel like I'm going to send Framber Valdez back in time. I don't know that you're going to get back to the World Series. I hope that you get back to the World Series, but he looked fantastic in that game. So if that's what you're getting with your first start of the year, and you still have Justin Verlander in the holster for the third game of this series this weekend in Anaheim against the Angels, got to be feeling pretty good about the pitching side of things. The best moment of the night, as mentioned a little bit before, remember that little weasel, Ryan Tepera? So he was with the Chicago White Sox last year. And in game three of the series between the Astros and White Sox, when the series had shifted over to Chicago, he got very cocky, plopped the Schmenzer on the table, and started acting like the Astros can't do anything on the road because they're a bunch of lousy cheaters. Here's Ryan Tepera.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. They've obviously had a reputation of, you know, doing some sketchy stuff over there. And, you know, it's just, we can say that it's a little bit of a difference. You know, I think you saw the swings and misses tonight compared to, you know, the first two games of Minute Maid. But that's not really the story, you know. We come here to play. You know, we're going to compete. We're not even going to worry about what they're going to do. All we have to do is execute pitches, and they can't hit them anyways.
You clearly are worried about what they're going to do if you're saying that when the series shifts from home to the road. You 100% are. That was the most weaselly way to do it. You could hear him stretching like a D-bag when he was saying that in that moment. And I remember seeing it in Seattle and wanting to say something, but also not wanting to piss off my Seattle followers. Well, now I am free. I'm allowed to talk about these losers who are consistently complaining about something that took place 5 years ago, something that they never actually dealt with. And in the very next game, Tepera gets smacked around like an absolute bum. Guess what happened last night? The same thing. We talked about the Bregman home run. I got to give credit to Todd Callis, Jeff Blum, Julia Morales on the call because they remembered what this man had done, and you could hear the mid-conversation sort of making fun of him before Jordan Alvarez bombed the ball to the deepest part of the Angel Stadium.
Saying they're still doing some sketchy things. Ooh, Jordan drives one deep to center field. Trout will watch this one. That's into the bushes and straightaway center field. The big man clears the center field wall. Back-to-back jacks, and the Astros lead 3-0.
Oh, just crushing egos out there.
Crushing egos out there. Fantastic. Then you saw the Astros Twitter account. Whoever is behind the Astros Twitter, high five. Look, I like pettiness. There's a reason that Cersei Lannister was one of my favorite characters on Game of Thrones. Now, perhaps don't be so petty that you murder, I don't know, everyone in a church and the surrounding 3 miles. That's probably a little too far. But I respect the pettiness. Oh, these people came after me. I'm going to take them down. The Astros tweeted out, "We keep receipts. Hopefully that's not skit." Yeah, get them. Whoop that trick. Get them. I got really excited seeing that last night. And it's fun to be a part of this again. I missed it. I really did. I miss being a cocky jackass on Twitter, talking down to every single team that we see. And I mean, look at those Angels fans last night, those cake eaters from Orange County. Because Anaheim is not really in Los Angeles, which is funny that they make it the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. You're in Anaheim. Shut up. These are a people who are just the elitists, you know. These are the people that are, you know, paying for $3 million mansions. But at the same time, they're telling you, hey, man, like, you should conserve your electricity. Hey, man, conserve your water, man. These California people, they are terrible at being fans. They had this long introduction for the Astros. And remember, everyone claims that they want to get their chance to boo the Astros. Well, this is your first chance, I would imagine, in California with a full crowd. I don't remember the specifics going into the playoffs. Maybe they were allowing things, but California was so damn restrictive. I imagine this was one of the more full crowds, at least potentially, that we've seen in a really long time. And the murmurs that were coming out when all the Astros were being introduced, you guys don't care. And it was great to see the Astros rub the Angels and their bloated payroll and their MVP candidates, although Shohei Ohtani was really good, right? Shohei Ohtani. Oof. I mean, that one hit, that was, I think it was late. Was it the eighth inning where he absolutely cracked one? And you're like, whoa. Oh, okay, fine. That's a fly ball. I felt like a total doofus standing up. I was like, no. Oh, okay, good. Good. That wasn't a home run. But Shohei Ohtani, I mean, He only pitched 4 2/3 and 9 strikeouts. That guy's scary. But anyway, I mean, you beat the team with the bloated payroll with the two MVP candidates, and I'm feeling pretty good on this day two of the MLB campaign for the Houston Astros. 162-0, still on the table. Not happening, obviously, but very fun first night. We also have a lot of other things to talk about today. Brandon Cooks signed an extension with the Houston Texans. How the hell were they able to pull that off? Should they have potentially been looking to move him to get draft picks? We'll discuss that. Also, Tiger Woods, my God, fantastic at the Masters yesterday. Everything on the table. It's Vanessa and Gallant. Vanessa up in Indy with her family after her father passed away. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I did have a weird hypothetical in the last question, in the last segment. The question was, hey man, so you can have that Framber Valdez 80% of the time the rest of the year, which potentially could lead to a World Series and a very fun campaign, or you get the same inconsistent 50% of that Framber Valdez the rest of this year, but Valdez goes back in time and you have him closer to what you saw last night in the World Series. You going back in time, sacrificing Valdez in the future, or are you fine with what's happened and have accepted that you can't change the past? Because who knows what other things could happen, the butterfly effect. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. For all you know, something bad might happen to you because of this decision that you make, and it's just going to happen. You're not even going to know anything about it. Well, everyone was basically like, yeah, give me the World Series on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Garza Roll 123, give me the World Series. And Fuentes Respector, give me the World Series. Duh. And Garza Roll 123 goes a little bit further. This is mean. I'd sacrifice a Davis Mills ACL for another ring. Well, that's a little extreme, right? What do you think, Sean, behind the glass?
I mean, it worked last time.
Well, it did.
Facts are facts.
You're right. But it happened afterwards. I guess it did count. And I mean,
well, you had to make sure, you know, the payment hits. You got to check. And then, all right, World Series, check. All right, now we take it out of your account. Or you take it out of Deshaun Watson's knee.
You're right. It's sort of like one of those, you know, you pay a bill on Friday, but it doesn't process until Monday. I think a lot of us would probably be willing to give Deshaun Watson's ACL for another Astros World Series. I mean, how many people would actually say no to that? I think we're all in the room together, sort of like those people on the boat in the dark night, all the nice people. I mean, I've made this reference twice in 1 week.
It was either a Monday or Friday.
I forget. Whatever, Sean. We're just going to keep on making it. We're all looking at each other like, well, I mean, he does kind of suck, allegedly. Let's get rid of his ACL? Huh? Poor Davis Mills. But I mean, what do you expect to get at Davis Mills this coming season? We're allowed to be callous. This is a theoretical hypothetical that will never actually take place. Okay. This was the moment last year where I said to myself, the Texans would be complete morons to move on from Brandon Cooks this offseason.
Quick pass. It's Cooks. Blockers ahead. Cooks turns on the Jets. Cooks, see you later. Touchdown, Texans. His second off the day. And that should do it here in Jacksonville.
That was the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars towards the end of the season where the Texans really solidified that they were not going to have the number one pick going into next year. Some people bitched and moaned about it. I want the number one pick. And I hate those people. I hate the people that are pushing for tanking. And I also hate people that want to trade away all of your good players so you can get draft picks, forgetting the fact that you actually have to nail those draft picks to get future good players. But I think the Texans did a really good job by signing Brandon Cooks to an extension yesterday. And I'll be honest, I'm surprised that they were able to get it done. We found out, though, that this is how they made it happen. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports the deal is $39.6 million over 2 years. $36 million of it is guaranteed. That's how you keep a guy around on a team that sucks. You give him a lot of guaranteed money. And on top of that, it's a two-year extension. Gives Cook some flexibility going forward. The $19.8 million per year average puts him in the top 10 of wide receivers. Behind Amari Cooper, ahead of Michael Thomas, around what Tyler Lockett and Christian Kirk got when they signed their current deals. Makes a lot more sense on the Christian Kirk front. Can you believe he got that contract? Good God. Tyler Lockett actually makes sense. But Cooks accounted for more than a quarter of the Texans' targets. Last year, he had 90 catches for 1,037 yards and 6 scores, including the one that you just heard there. He had 2 in that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You need him next year. You can't go into next season with a team devoid of talent. Whatever the case, you can't go into next year with no one on your roster. I'm sorry. If you're trying to give Davis Mills a real shot here, and I don't think you really need to, but if you're going to go do that, if that's your plan, then you can't move on from players. And there was conversation about how maybe the Texans should move on from one, Laremy Tunsil. Tunsil makes a little more sense. Didn't seem like he wanted to be here last year based off of really just seeing that he didn't get back out on the field. Didn't seem like he was bending over backwards to do it. But maybe the Texans and him were talking behind the scenes. They were like, look, this season's a lost cause. Whatever. Not that big of a deal. But he's committed going forward. He gets an extension. The same thing that you have with Laremy Tunsil, you get with Brandon Cooks. And you need some players around Davis Mills to succeed. I hate draft pick nerds, too. There's too many people out there that seem to believe, okay, well, if your team isn't good, just get as many draft picks as you possibly can. You have to hit the draft picks. Why do people forget this? A first-round pick, what's a success rate? And define a success rate for a first-round pick. First-round picks, I think, hit, at best, 50% of the time. And in terms of hitting, I mean, will this player be a capable starter for the 4 to 5 years that he is on the roster? All-pro. Probably not going to happen. Pro bowler, a little bit more likely, but probably not going to happen. What's realistic is you're going to get players who suck. You're going to get some players who are good. Nothing against those players. That's just how the NFL works. It's not for everybody, obviously. It's a pretty damn elite league. You have 15 picks in the first 3 rounds the next 3 years. 15, not to mention just 11 total next year. But let's trade Brandon Cooks for some draft picks. And I saw some people out there, including some talking heads, who were saying that they should trade him. Just dumb. Why? Why would you do that? It makes no sense. And that they were able to get him aboard. I got to say, look, you're going to have to overpay for someone like Brandon Cooks, who I would say is closer to a number two wide receiver than he is a one wide receiver. But he's statistically one of the most productive guys in the league last year. You got a guy like that on your team, and you're going to move on, and you're going to get, what, a second round pick, a third round pick? Does it really hurt you that badly to give the guy an extension? Oh, well, you got to be, you know, economically responsible. It's not your money, and this team is not the Bengals. They're not a bunch of poors. This is not some team that is going to look at a contract and say, we can't do it because of money. There are other reasons where they might not extend guys. They obviously do not like people with character concerns off of the field. But in this situation with Brandon Cooks, who seemed like he wanted to be here, felt like he had a pretty good connection with Davis Mills on top of that, why would you move on from him? Oh, so we could get draft picks. It's just, I hate these people. There's not that many of them, but they just don't seem to understand that it's so difficult to find good players in this league. Cooks is a good player. Great? I don't know. Good? Definitively. Very good? Yeah, you can make that argument too. I mean, there's a reason that teams across the NFL have been trading like second-round picks and first-round picks for him over the last couple of years. And we're going like back 5 years, essentially, when it comes to that. His services have been wanted, and this is a guy that you need to have something. You can't just go into every single year with nothing, a bare cupboard. It's embarrassing, first off, just for all of us. And if you want to actually get this team closer to being a competitive team in the near future, guess what you have to do? You have to have players. I'm surprised by the amount of people that just want to keep kicking the can down the road. Have we not been doing this for the entire existence of this franchise? Punt, 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 punt. I don't know. Instead of punting, I'd rather be Brett Hartman getting my foot stuck in a damn pallet than continuing to just kick the can down the road. Draft picks, bro. I get it. You play Madden. Congratulations. You're not going to hit every single first and second round pick that you do in Madden either. Probably not. at least based off the way that Madden is these days. A half-assed game designed by EA, the laziest company in the video game world. That's no big deal. I remember I said that once in Seattle, and I actually got spoken to afterwards. I was like, Paul, you can't say that. And I was like, what? What did I say that was incorrect? EA just puts out the same game, and they change like a little bit of the code, and they just update the rosters. That's what they do. They're one of the laziest companies ever. The amount of Star Wars video games that they haven't created, despite having the license for like 20 years, that's the biggest travesty in American history. Oh, Paul, there's some other things. No, that. Anyway, back to this. Brandon Cooks, this is a good move by the Texans, and I'm trying to think, outside of just the way that the David Culley move looked, point to a bad move this offseason. Deshaun Watson, they get a ton of picks. 3 first-round picks going forward. Keeping Larry Tunsil around, I mean, again, if you want to figure out what the hell's going on with Deshaun Watson, excuse me, not Deshaun Watson, with Davis Mills, you got to do that. Then on top of that, too, I mean, on the offensive line, all right, do you want to keep moving Titus Howard around, or do you want to keep him on the interior where he's actually looked pretty good? And do you want to put Laremy Tunsil on the outside back to where he was before when you gave up 2 first-round picks for him? Probably. You want to give Davis Mills some help. I'm not expecting much, but also you want to have players. And this tanking that we see, it has just, I think, completely ruined sports. It really has. This acceptance that let's play like ass. Let's embrace the suck, which I know the Killer Bees have done, and I understand the logic behind it, but it just pisses me off that everyone wants it. Why? Why do you want to just continue to be bad so you can get draft picks and maybe get a lottery ticket that gets you something good, but probably is going to get you zilch? Why do you want that? Can you explain it to me? Maybe you are one of those draft pick people right now. I hope that I have bullied you into submission by yelling at you right now. Bad. You're a bad, bad boy or girl. Or whatever you identify as. I get my cat squirt bottle out. Bat, 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 bat. I have a cat, for those who don't know. My cat doesn't care about that. You ever have like a pet and you're trying to, you know, get them to obey the rules, if you will, and they don't? My cat just basically stands there and just gives me this face. Squirt her right point blank in the face. Hey, get off the counter. And then just, she'll like roll over, like show me her belly. Like, oh, this is great. Damn it, stop. But I'm doing that to you right now. Stop it, draft pick people. You're crazy and dumb. Yeah, that was mean. It was personal. It's true. They have 15 picks in the first 3 rounds the next 3 years. Keep Brandon Cooks. He is better than whatever second or third round pick you would have gotten. I'm Paul Gallant. This is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Vanessa is up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed away. We're all thinking about her, and we're hoping that she comes back soon. Up next, some more thoughts from the Astros game last night. I miss Carlos Correa. You're not going to be able to convince me anytime soon that I shouldn't miss Carlos Correa. And Jeremy Pena's first performance was underwhelming. Plus, Tiger Woods at the Masters. Woo! Are the Masters already overshadowing baseball? We'll talk about that too. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We'll cut 6 out
of
Tiger.
He needs to cut to get on the proper level.
Oh, Tiger really in.
Almost made it. What a shot from Tiger.
I love golf crowd reactions. Hear the whack. Oh, 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 oh. What does that sound like? Anyway, that's just me asking a question. I'm not trying to lead any of you guys down the gutter. I was really pumped to see Tiger out there yesterday. We all were. I guess we should have expected it. Tiger to go out there and do what he did yesterday. So going into today, he was tied for, I believe, what was it? 11th place at 1 under on the day. 3 birdies, 2 bogeys, and you heard that one. You also saw this putt from a way away where afterwards you get the trademark Tiger Woods fist pump. Oh, baby, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I think he did.
That was fantastic. I love just seeing him get pumped because, you know, he changed golf in terms of we actually started seeing golfers show real emotion. I always hate the gentlemanly nature of a sport like golf. I don't really like it personally to play it because it's so damn expensive. And I just don't feel like I'm in place when I golf. Mostly because I suck, but also because I just feel like I'm supposed to be this primp and proper person. No, I'm not that. I know most people don't feel that way when you golf. You golf with your buddies, you throw a couple of back, you have a good time, right? I never feel that way. I just feel constant pressure to not be the worst guy out there, just pretending to laugh at myself when I'm secretly like wanting to strangle myself when I shank something or slice something. But when you see Tiger out there and you see all these other golfers out there actually getting yoked and getting excited and getting pumped up when they hit something, Tiger's the one who I feel like brought it to golf. And I like it. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in his excitement. Now, I don't know what's going to happen going forward. And as far as the leaderboard today, Sungjae Im from South Korea, he is leading. He's 5 under. Dustin Johnson is tied for second with Cameron Smith. They're both at 4 under. Cameron Smith hasn't teed off yet, but Dustin Johnson threw 4. He's 1 under on the day, just 1 stroke off the lead. And outside of that, no one I really recognize. There's the South African dude, Schwartzel, who's in 8th place on 2 under. But I'm excited to watch it. And it's funny that because baseball was a bunch of procrastinating idiots when it came to getting a deal done, partly on the players, but not that much on the players, mostly on the owners were just saying, like, yeah, we're not going to do anything for 1, 2, 3, 4 months. It felt like at the very least. Maybe it was 3. I guess it was December through late March. Whatever the case, they had plenty of time, years, to get a deal done. And they deserved to get their asses kicked numbers-wise, ratings-wise, interest-wise by Tiger Woods' return. Especially when you see stuff like this and someone's asked if we played the Astros theme song yet. Don't worry, we'll play it. We don't want to do it too much, you know? Some people can handle that adrenaline rush of Astros baseball, who says it's only a game. Other people can't. I felt bad for whoever was running the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest Twitter account last night. Because obviously, on a night like last night, you want to, every single highlight, put it up there. You also, on top of having every single highlight out there, you want to, from time to time, put out something maybe snarky. Perhaps making fun of idiot pitchers that used to pitch for the Chicago White Sox that are now pitching for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, like Ryan Tepera, who, of course, gave up the 2 back-to-back shots from Alex Bregman and then from Jordan Alvarez, and then almost was taken deep by Kyle Tucker, and then was almost taken deep by Yuli Gurriel, and then was almost taken deep by even Jeremy Peña, who was just a couple of feet foul of the left field line in that one. You want them to be having fun. Instead, they spent the whole night tweeting this out, because I guess the AT&T Sportsnet Southwest app that allows you to stream games on your phone, I guess it just doesn't work anymore. And it's not because of AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. It's because of baseball. They tweeted this out, I swear, 60, 70 times, like doing customer service work as opposed to tweeting out about opening night. Due to league restrictions, 2022 games for the Houston Astros are no longer available via our TVE app. I don't know what TVE means. And web player, we continue to have discussions to bring this feature back to customers in the region. Think about that. You're doing that all night long. What is baseball's gain here? What is the benefit when you are doing things that are keeping the sport in the Stone Age? Do you really need to kiss the ass of the cable networks, the cable providers that you have these deals with, that you're in bed with? Do you really need to do it? Because that's what it's all about. It's because those networks, check that, I keep saying networks, those providers have these deals for exclusivity with, you know, like, hey, say what we used to have here, Root Sports or AT&T Sportsnet or Bally Sports across the country. Cable providers are paying a premium so that they can provide those to customers. But people are cutting cords all the time. And what sucks is right now, like, I want to cut the cord and do Sling. Sling's fantastic. I think it has a really nice system. Instead of doing Fubo TV and I'm paying like $90 a month for it because it's the only one that provides the Astros and the Rockets, the only one that provides AT&T Sportsnet. And they make it so that you can only get it on one. Are you trying to grow the game or are you trying to squeeze every single one of the people that are still watching your sport? Are you trying to squeeze their love of the game out by nickeling and diming them to death? And I would say not really nickeling and diming them to death. I would say Andrew Jacksoning them to death. $20 extra a month to do it. I think it's bogus. And, I mean, far be it from me to tell you to go and do things that would be looked down upon, like going around using certain websites. But I don't blame people who do when they do things like this. There was no streaming app when I was up in Seattle that allowed me to watch the Mariners. So I had to do something tricky. I basically got MLB TV for the whole year, which, of course, that makes sense, right? Oh, wait, you get blacked out in your local market if you have MLB TV. So I bought a VPN along with MLB TV so I could get around it. Baseball stays killing itself. And I'm glad that Tiger Woods slapped him around. I don't, you know, baseball's my third favorite sport. I love the Astros, but this sport deserves to be spanked for the way that they handle themselves. And by the way, look, I know that it's one game, and the twitch.tv/ESPN975, they are saying they're fine with what you saw from Jeremy Pena last night. RareCandy86 said Pena had a good defensive play, but he also had an error, and he also had in the fourth inning a throw to first base where it, Yuli had to scoop it. I don't like his arm at that spot. So I was told that defense was something I wouldn't have to worry about with Jeremy Pena. Well, why was Carlos Correa's wins above replacement what it was last year? It's because the guy's a damn good fielder, too, and he's got a hose for an arm. Pena doesn't have that. And, you know, it makes me wonder, okay, well, I mean, Alex Bregman's obviously great at third base, but things go through my head that obviously don't make a whole lot of sense. I'm baseball Paul. I'm an overreactionary person that's not in any way, shape, or form an expert of the game. But, I mean, I think about, well, why not Bregman at shortstop or something like that, you know? Like, I'm never concerned about Bregman being able to make a throw from third base to first. I am concerned right now about Jeremy Pena on that front. And then, look, Shohei Ohtani's a great pitcher and all. And he must have been feeling a lot of pressure last night, Jeremy Pena, being his first night. So maybe that led to some of the plays in the field where you're like, or him just getting absolutely overwhelmed by Ohtani. But, man, I'm not feeling it. It's one game. It's fine. But I know what I would have done if I were out at a bar and I saw, you know, my now significant other being underwhelming. Boop, 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 boop. Hey, Carlos, I know it's late. You up? Well, clearly not. Hey, you know, we had some good things going, you know? Remember the time that you yelled at Cody Bellinger? It was so hot. I think about it every night, Carlos. I miss you. I'm with someone right now, but it's just not the same. Nothing's the same without you anymore. Let's try to make it happen. Just one more time. Then I bust out a boombox, and I hold it up, and I play Your Eyes by Phil Collins, like it's Say Anything. That's what I'm thinking right now. Again, one game, and hopefully it was just nerves last night for Jeremy Pena, but I'm not thrilled. The Astros still won 3-1, though. It's fine. I feel like I've put some negative vibes on the show. It is Friday, after all. Maybe we'll play our favorite song coming up in a little bit. Also, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Yankees stay losing. Unintentionally, in two stories that I will share with you next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa Richardson up in Indianapolis with her family. Her father passed away. We're hoping she'll be back soon. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Someone is commenting that I'm showing too much cleavage. Excuse me, sir. It is my birthday weekend, and I will show as much cleavage as I want. My body. You're right, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. Keep your eyes on my mouth. I'm not going to Will Smith you. Don't worry. It's fine. You're listening on the radio. I can't reach through your stereo or through your computer like it's the ring or something to hit you. However, I'm going to do what I want. And by the way, you want to hang out with me for my birthday weekend? Well, you should come down to Hitchcock tonight. I'm going to be at the Bon Temps Rue Cajun Throwdown, the good old days fairgrounds. Going to be a good old time. Can't wait for some Cajun food. And also, by the way, you didn't know this. The Sugarland Space Cowboys, who fell 6-0 to this damn Sacramento Rivercats scourge. You can hear their games every single night right here on ESPN 92.5. So it's a fun game to go to, too. I do wish they were the Skeeters still, but look, 6-0 loss last night to Sacramento. And the Rivercats, God, sounds, I like cats and all, but the Rivercats, what is that, like a raccoon? I don't know. This sounds like a dirty cat. Sounds like the kind of cat that I actually wouldn't think is cute. Like those ones that look like they've been smashed in the face with a shovel. Not a fan. Just not a fan. A couple of people are saying, it's going to be a long season for you, Paul, if you're overreacting like this to game one. It's fine if you feel that way. But I feel like I saw enough yesterday from Jeremy Peña to have warranted concerns. Not at the plate as much as I think he will be able to eventually catch up to major league pitching. The defense was what I was told is something that won't be an issue. That's what I was told. And I don't know if that was nerves as much as it was at the plate. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Before we get to the Yankees just continuing to lose, maybe not on the baseball diamond. Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, what's going on? 713-780-ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, man. First of all, Peña is going to be fine. His defense was impeccable. I think he had one error.
Well, how is it impeccable if he had an error? No offense, Lawrence. Lawrence, you still there? Oh, is Lawrence gone? Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, I don't know what happened there, Lawrence. Look, no. He had an error. You can't say that. He had a throw that was in the dirt, too, you know? The arm strength, it's just not quite there. I don't know what happened on that front, but listen, we'll get Lawrence back at some point. Rare Candy 86 says, what if he was nervous? Who knows? What if he was ass? It's a fair point. I'm not saying it. He's asking the question. This is where we are right now. Anyway, before we get back, and we'll see what happened on that last phone call, and apologize. My apologies, Lawrence. It's generally my fault when anything bad happens. Oh, we do still have a Lawrence. Lawrence, you still there? No? I don't know what's going on. Fun times. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Poor Sean. Maybe behind the glass. What's going on? I don't know. Hey, let's shift into something else before we figure out what the hell's going on the phone front. This is funny. This is just really funny. Look, the New York Yankees are a baseball team that has obviously made a ton of excuses over the last 2 years, right? I mean, we have heard them. 2 years, 5 years, consistently go back. But ever since the scandal broke with the Astros, they have consistently gone back to 2017 and pointed at it as like, this is the reason that we weren't able to win a World Series. So they put together this montage yesterday. And it's really funny because we're just days removed from Brian Cashman whining about the Yankees. We are days removed from Carlos Beltran bringing up the Astros sign-stealing scandal as part of his penance, I guess, joining the Yankees broadcast team. And then, after that, if you go a little further back, you have Matt Holliday, who used to play for the Yankees but barely did anything for that team, doing the same thing. Like, well, we would have won in 2017. Like, they all still think about this stuff, which is why it's really funny when this Ryan Ruocco narrated Yankee montage was posted unironically yesterday. Here's the first part where they claim they're not here to talk about last year. Ryan. Ryan Ruoco.
In 2022, we're not here to talk about last year. We're not here to talk about history. In fact, we're not here to talk at all.
Well, hang on. Ryan, the Yankees, we're not here to talk at all. Then, okay, so we're just turning the page from the offseason of whining and the years of whining to the regular season now? We're not here to talk at all. My God. Continues a little bit later. And this part is just funny because this is where the Yankees have become, what they've become. They've become a team that actually thinks about moral victories.
But this,
not anymore.
But this is the reality. There are no more moral victories to be had. No excuses. No storyline. No narrative. Just one team in one city with one goal.
Oh my God, spare me.
Win.
It's really funny saying, like, no more moral victories starting now. You're the Yankees. When were they ever acceptable? God, you guys are so embarrassing now. Like, even the Mets, at least the Mets, like, they own their brand of, like, our fans are going to be suicidal by the end of the year because three pitchers are going to get hurt on opening day and something else bad will happen. But the Yankees, it's like, yeah, we made it to the wild card 5 years ago and lost in the ALCS. This is what we do. We were really good that year, and then we were cheated. Moral victory. That's who they are. And they are losers. And by the way, the losing continues because this came from Jeff Passan just about 20 minutes ago or so. No long-term deal for Aaron Judge. The Yankees offered a 7-year, $213.5 million extension. And guess what? Paired with that and $17 million in arbitration that they have offered, would have made the package over $230 million. Aaron Judge doesn't want it. Fantastic. I love it. So the Yankees keep losing. Brian Cashman. Ooh, going to be able to keep your job, buddy? I know you cheated in 2017, but think you're going to be able to hold it down? You know, after doing nothing for 13 years? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to Brad. Brad, what's up?
Paul, based on your logic earlier about Pena, does that mean you want to bench Jordan because he made that error in the field and scored, they allowed him to score a run, almost lost us the game?
That's a fair counterpoint. I feel like with Jordan, I expect Jordan to learn left field, if that makes sense, because we haven't really seen him out there a whole lot. Dusty Baker, I guess, was asked before the game about moving Jordan to left field. He's like, am I going to have to be asked about this every game? Well, if another play like that happens, it's a fair point. And Brad, I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't brought it up on today's show. But I think with Pena, what we were billed with Pena is that Pena is a really good defender. And what I'm seeing right now from him isn't that he's bad with the glove. It's more the arm at shortstop. I'm just not feeling it right now. Can it get better? Sure, but that seems like something that, whether you're in the majors or in the minors, shouldn't be something that's widely varying as opposed to a guy going from minor league hitting to major league hitting, going up against Shohei Ohtani in his first day at the plate.
Well, I just think it's an awful small sample size to be having that much concern.
It definitely is, Brad.
Look, I mean, everybody.
It definitely is. You're right on that front. I mean, it's the first game of the season. But look, this is who I am, okay? I can't help it. I'm trying to walk myself through it. You know, I'm back watching a baseball team that matters every single day. But you are right. It's one game. It's one sample size. And I'm just saying, I'm wondering about the arm. Is it fair to wonder about the arm at all, Brad? Like, do you have any concerns about that side of his defense at all? I know it's one game and it's one small sample size. There were a couple of moments, though, yesterday where you're like, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, I would give it at least, you know, a month. Then okay. At the end of a month, if you've got multiple examples of him doing that, but I mean, that's part of what Yuri does is he scoops out plays at first, no matter who's throwing it to him. Everybody's going to make a play where they throw it to first, and he makes a great scoop because he's a great defensive first baseman. So I just think it's a little early to be pushing the panic button.
That's fair, Brad. Call back in a month. If I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong on that front. And he is right about Yuli, because Yuli's got a great scoop right there. Appreciate the phone call, Brad. It's 713-780-3776, 713-780 ESPN. You can also tweet me at Galant Says. I think someone is trying to clarify what a river cat is to me, and I really appreciate this because this is where my mind wanders, and I don't want to Google it. Johnny, 713-780-3776. What the hell is a river cat?
River cat. It is actually a catfish. And I guess they just shortened the name with cat, and it kind of does sound a little raunchy saying it, but it's actually a catfish. You got saltwater catfish and also river catfish, so, or freshwater, whatever you want to call it. But that may help you, you know, stomach the name a little bit better.
Definitely does. It definitely does.
And I love your show. Thanks.
Thanks, Johnny. I appreciate it. Well, catfish are brain dead idiots. I don't fish a lot, but every now and then, like, I'll go with friends. When I was growing up in high school in Florida, we would go out in the boat, we'd throw chum in the water, and basically what we would do is we'd just wait for a bull shark to grab a hold of it, and we would just try to see how long we could hold the line before it snapped. Is that bad, inhumane? I don't know. But I remember that the stupid ass catfish would constantly bite them, and they would just get stuck on the wire. So we'd reel it in, because I don't think the sharks wanted to eat the catfish. And we, you know, put the gloves on because they're so spiky, and you take it off, and it took forever to get the stupid hook out of their mouth. They're just complete morons. Like, they eat anything, but they are exceptionally tasty. Fried catfish, very good. One of the best things that my mom put together, which is funny because she's not Cajun. You know, she's from Philadelphia. She had a really good mix that she put together to fry catfish in. And what she used for it was this, how many of y'all have ever had, like, Jiffy muffin mix? Jiffy cornbread muffin mix. Put it on catfish. I'm telling you, it was awesome. I'm just getting really hungry thinking about that. And I appreciate the phone call, but now I want catfish. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. We're going to walk you back through the best moment in last night's Astros victory. And, of course, I mean, we got to play the song. At some point, it's coming. We're not going to do it at 11 o'clock. But the song is coming. If you need some adrenaline to get you through the rest of your Friday, oh, we got it for you. We got it for you like for Tony Montana. We got the hookup. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. No Vanessa up in Indianapolis with her family after her father passed away. And again, all the wishes you guys have been sending, we really appreciate them. You guys have been so kind. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.